please, and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures there in Acts 9, but also have your mustard sheet ready. There's some other verses that we'll be using this evening as well. We've been doing a series in Peter, and the title of this evening's message is Faithful Service. By the way, it's my heart to begin in 1 Peter very soon in the morning service. So we're going to continue with 1 Peter through to the last mention of him in Acts. There's one mention of him in Galatians. We'll just do that complete look at every verse that has to do with the Apostle Peter. But we're going to be starting 1 Peter simultaneously in the morning service. Let's ask God's help. Dear Father, we pray that as we come to this word tonight, you would encourage your servants. I believe people are here tonight because they are faithful. And Lord, in a way, this is preaching to the choir. But I pray, dear Heavenly Father, you would keep stretching us. You're always stretching us, taking us a little bit further. And Lord, encourage us in what we're doing. Help us to stay faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I assumed that those school crossing supervisors were a voluntary position, but I found out that it's a paid position in many places. Betty Watson made the news. She was one of those lollipop ladies. The newspaper, August 31, 2015, just during the week. Betty Watson was recognised for 47 years of faithful service. She turned up when she was sick. She loved the children. She loved her work. Only once in 47 years did she miss out on one of her days because she was going to a funeral service. She was dedicated and she was dependable. Dedicated and dependable were the words that the newspaper article used. Her community recognised her with a plaque for her extraordinary record of faithful service. 47 years at the one job and you miss one day, that's pretty faithful, wouldn't you say? Well, God has entrusted us with time, talents, and treasure. And he wants all this to be used for him. He wants us to be faithful. If Betty can do it in a secular position for a human government, surely we can be faithful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to be faithful, and I guess most of you that are here tonight are faithful, certainly faithful in attendance because you're here. May you be encouraged by the word of God tonight. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 on your sheet says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Keep going, brothers and sisters. So we need this word tonight to encourage us to continue to be faithful. Now, the exciting days, you remember last time we looked at Peter, they'd gone to Samaria. There was great things happening in the city of Samaria. People were being saved. Those exciting days of initial contact with the Samaritans are over. And life has settled into a more routine kind of pattern. But Peter continues in faithful service and people continue to be added to the church. In Acts chapter 9 and verses 32 through 42, there are five descriptions of faithful service. The first description of faithful service in this passage is, faithful service is thorough. It's thorough. About 12 months have passed since Peter and John were there in Samaria and those initial conversions in that city. And about 12 months since they were there, they laid hands on the believers and they had received the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, we pick it up. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Having peace, that means there wasn't the same persecution. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. I want you to notice that little word all there in verse 32. It came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country. Parts of the country is supplied, that's not there. He went through all, it says in the original language. The persecution of 12 to 18 months ago has now settled some. So the churches are in peace. The disciples at Jerusalem had dispersed. Churches had been established in Judea and Samaria and also up into Galilee. But this is exactly what the Lord Jesus had predicted in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Peter went to every church, all. He went where there were no churches and he preached, but he certainly went to the churches that were existing and being established through Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Faithful ministry is going to be a thorough ministry. Faithfulness neglects no one. Faithfulness neglects no needful thing. Now, Nolan and I like plums for dessert, so we take care of our plum trees, but they're a lot of work. We spent earlier this year a full day pruning those plum trees. Very soon we're going to be up the ladders, covering those ladders in a bird net so that the currawongs, the crimson rosellas, king parrots, etc. don't get to the crop. In January, we'll spend another day picking the crop and then much time washing and stewing and storing the plums. And Lord willing, didn't happen this year for the first time in a long time, but Lord willing, next year we'll have enough plums to last us throughout the year. It's a lot of work, but if we want any plums, we've got to do the hard yards, right? We cannot neglect in any step in the process. I'm just saying, if you want the results, you need to be thorough. Of course, the same is true in ministry. I notice Pastor friend from Mount Gambier, Robert Cotton, was writing an article in a Christian magazine, and he was talking about the need to be thorough and faithful in door knocking. Yeah, I know what he's talking about. We've knocked every door from Linden to Bullaburra, and I'm itching to get out and do that again. Other things like counselling has got in the road. That's okay. We want to do those other things, but we're looking forward to door knocking too. We need to be thorough if we ever expect or if we ever want results. Janie has come through that door knocking. The Normans have come through door knocking. Now, they're already saved people, but we've had some lovely opportunities to evangelize people too. I'm grateful to those who faithfully set up here every week. Every sign has to be put out. Every tract has to be put out on the back table. We don't know when some unsaved person is going to come in and take one of those tracts. Every bit of electrical equipment has to be put together, leave one lead out, and the whole thing is not going to work. So we need to be thorough. I'm grateful to the Sunday school teachers who thoroughly prepare. And sometimes our Sunday school teachers will thoroughly prepare and there'll be no students turn up. I praise God for that kind of faithfulness. Praise God for those who have a prayer list and they thoroughly go through that prayer list every day or every week, whatever their pattern is. That is faithfulness. I'm grateful to the musicians who thoroughly prepare. We had a lot of people practicing here this morning. The music is an important part of our worship, and we're grateful for that. My heart rejoices at those who are faithful in attendance, who faithfully attend prayer meeting, who do their quiet times every day in thorough devotion to Christ, not half-hearted, not haphazard, but thorough. Preparation to serve God full-time needs to be thorough. Of course, Moses was, for example, was trained 40 years in the palace and then 40 years out there in the desert before he was ready to lead God's people. Peter, who we're looking at particularly here, had three years with the Lord Jesus. He'd already studied the scriptures as a child there in the synagogues. He would have done that and learned the books of Moses off by heart, and then 3 years with the Lord Jesus, and then some hard times in the school of hard knocks at the end where Jesus was crucified. Paul, for another 15 years after he was saved, was prepared by God before he went out as a missionary onto that mission field. He knew the scriptures thoroughly as a lawyer, and yet God added a further 15 years before Paul was ready. I've never regretted any preparation that I did for serving the Lord Jesus, but I could have done more. All preparation for service for the Lord should be thorough. If I don't see someone responding to the gospel or responding to counseling, I tend to be ready to move on. Okay, the Lord doesn't seem to be working there. I'm going to move on to the next person. But let me tell you, Noli doesn't give up on anyone. She keeps working with them. She is faithful and thorough. Dear friends, whatever you do for the Lord, keep in mind that little word, all. All. The Lord Jesus, or rather Peter, was thorough. Peter was thorough and God blessed his ministry. Let's look at verse 33. There he found a certain, so he's in Lydda, according to verse 32. Verse 33, there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. Maybe he'd had a stroke, we don't know. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, this could not have happened if Peter had not been thorough to go through all the regions. He would not have ended up in Lydda. The second description of faithful service in this passage is faithful service is kind. Firstly, it's thorough. Secondly, it's kind. Sure, faithful service is going to be kind. It's done in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's done in the power of the Spirit. There's going to be the fruit of the Spirit in service. So it's going to be kind. Verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Now, both those names, Tabitha and Dorcas, refer to gazelle, a graceful gazelle. The phrase charitable deeds is one Greek word and is usually translated alms. I don't think it was money that Dorcas was giving to those around her. I think it was these charitable deeds. I think it was things like making clothes. It was things like nursing the sick, looking after children, giving meals, and so forth. Right here, her kind deeds are not enumerated, but verse 37 continues. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he'd come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Well, her charitable deeds certainly include the making of clothes. Dorcas is our model here, not Peter. For the rest of the examples of faithful service, it is Peter. But Dorcas was kind in her faithful service. Note that the ones most mourning her were widows. Widows in those days were very unlikely to find employment. And if their family did not look after them, they were going to be destitute. And it seems like these widows, anyway, depended on these kind gifts of Dorcas, from Dorcas, gifts of clothing, perhaps to keep them warm in the winter. Dorcas was a Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31 and verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And she continued in works that God had prepared for her to do. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Dorcas was consistently kind. Dorcas may not have been as prominent as Peter in terms of ministry, but she was faithful in her kindness, and that would not lose its reward. Be encouraged. Now, as we go about life, we don't always notice them, but we leave fingerprints everywhere, on doorknobs, on keyboards, on walls. Every person's fingerprint, of course, is unique. And so as we leave our fingerprints behind, we're leaving our identity behind. And some stores are even experimenting with using fingerprints to pay for goods. Each fingerprint is unique, and it's, of course, connected in their database to the bank account, and so all you need is your finger to pay. Dorcas, of course, would have left those same fingerprints, but more importantly, she kind of left a heart print in those she was involved with in life. Dorcas touched many people's lives through a unique gift of sewing and then giving away the garments. She's described as full of good works and charitable deeds. We each have a unique heart print that can touch another. So as we leave something of the savour of our life behind, our heart print, we're leaving our Christian identity. And may we leave the savour of the Saviour wherever we go. An unknown author wrote a prayer about encouraging others. This prayer goes, O God, wherever I go today, help me to leave heart prints of compassion, understanding, and love, heart prints of kindness and genuine concern. May my heart touch a lonely neighbour, or a runaway daughter, or an anxious mother, or even an aged grandfather. Send me out today to leave heart prints. It's a nice kind of concept to think of, isn't it? To leave that savour of Christ. There's no doubt about it that Dorcas's kindness impact lives round about her. And over these last few weeks, I've been encouraged to see body ministry going on in the church. People are sick, but yeah, many families have cooked meals and helped out in other ways with kindnesses. And it seems like the Goulets weren't here this morning. There's continuing needs there. But I've seen lovely kindnesses. Faithful service will be kind. And so Dorcas touched the lives of these poor widows. Maybe Dorcas had a gift of mercy. And we've had at least one person in this church with a gift of mercy. Probably, I suspect, others as well. But the one I'm thinking of has already passed away and she's been sorely missed. But whether we have a gift of mercy or not, we are to be kind. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Dear friends, this is not so much another message on be faithful, but God bless you for your faithfulness. May God help you to be kind as you continue in faithfulness. Be encouraged. God is going to use it. God's going to use your thoroughness. And God is going to use your kindness in others' lives. The third description of faithful service in this passage is faithful service is dedicated. Dedicated. I used the word generous the first time I went through that. It's kind of the same idea. It's very giving. It's dedicated. It could be dedicated or generous in giving money. But here I'm thinking about being dedicated with time and with talents. I want to read verses 38 to 39 again, but this time I want us to concentrate on Peter. Verse 38. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Now, Peter was busy when they arrived. We know this because this, verse 35 says, So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. There was this whole crop of new Christians. Peter was clearly would have been discipling them, so he wasn't on any holiday. He was busy. But Peter was also available. Whenever the Lord directed him, Peter's time and Peter's talents was there, available to the Lord Jesus, given over to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel. He was dedicated. Did they tell Peter that Dorcas was already dead? Well, we don't know. The text doesn't say. And if Peter wasn't told when he was in Lydda, by the time he got to Joppa and they took him to the upper room, he certainly knew about her condition by then. But they implored him to come. And Peter responded to the need and he came. Peter did what his Lord had done when he got to that upper room. He put the people out of the room. Remember Jairus' daughter, that story, 12-year-old girl? Jesus put the people that were wailing out of the room. Peter did exactly the same as his Lord had done. And Jesus said to that little girl, Talitha kumai, which means little girl, arise. Well, in the Aramaic language, Peter said, Tabitha kumai, which means Tabitha, arise. And in both cases, God raised the dead. A 12-year-old girl and an aged woman. Raising the dead wasn't Peter's idea. No apostle had ever done it. He didn't go out on this trip planning to show how he could raise the dead. It was the need of the people that directed Peter. They had this need and he came. He gave freely of his time and he gave freely of his spiritual gifts. And he probably exercised a gift of apostleship that he didn't realize he had until that particular point. He was just available. He was just walking with the Lord. By the way, finding your gift depends on your dedication. Peter was dedicated here. As he served God, he found his spiritual gift. Available and generous as the Lord directed him. The faithful servant does not ask the cost. He simply gives whatever is asked of him. He is dedicated. How many of us complain that we haven't got the time or we hide our talents under a bushel, our talents from the world? One soldier, a veteran of World War I, was asked to speak to other soldiers during World War II. He said, "All that we fear from all kinds of adversity is collected together in the life of a soldier on active duty. Like sickness, war threatens pain and death. Like poverty, war threatens homelessness, cold, thirst, and hunger. Like slavery, war threatens toil, humiliation, injustice, and loss of freedom. Like exile, war separates you from all you love." Only a dedicated soldier is going to go through all that. And soldiers did go through all that for a government, for their country. Only a dedicated man or woman will do it. Dedicated Christian will do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It is this type of dedication that ignores the problems and just gives because the Lord has asked them. Serving Christ requires dedication. We may encounter obstacles of poor health, troubled relationships, difficult circumstances. But as a good soldier, we give without reservation our times, our gifts, our talents, and our very selves. Why? Because it's for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave himself for us. Faithful service has a generous heart because it's been touched by the generous heart of God. It gives and gives again. It gives whatever it has to serve the Master. Praise God. I thank him for you. I see a giving here. And we say, "Lord, only help us to increase." Won't you give your time and whatever abilities you have, your car, your resources, all in service to the Lord? So, most of us are already giving, but may I ask, what are you going to do differently this week? God has given his all for us. What are we going to give for him? The fourth description of faithful service in this passage is faithful service comes from dependency. It comes from dependency. The first three comments we've made about faithful service are comments about its character. Faithful service is thorough. Faithful service is kind. And faithful service is dedicated. I hope you have realized I can't do that. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And we tend to want to go our own way. In this, we cannot do all that. To keep going, to be kind, to be dedicated in our service for the Lord is not in the flesh. It is only in the spirit. A life of faithful service must be spirit-filled and spirit-empowered. And so we use this word dependent. We must be dependent on the Lord if we're ever going to live this kind of life. It does not depend on us. And it depends on God. And dependency begins with prayer. Let's pick it up at verse 40. "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise,'" or Tabitha Kumai. "She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive." Now, it doesn't say how long Peter knelt down and prayed. But we know that he knelt down and prayed for as long as it took for him to be dependent on God. This is not something doing. "I'm drawing close to you, Lord." And he was sick as long he prayed so that he could be in tune with God's will. Peter did not depend on knowledge or his own intuition of what to do in this situation. Peter was God dependent in his walk and in his ministry. In fact, dependency is the only way that we can ever be faithful in our service to the Lord Jesus. And so Peter prayed. A professional ball player announced his retirement, saying, "All of a sudden, the passion isn't there anymore. Physically, I think I can continue to do it, but something that I've loved my whole life and had such a passion for has become such a major job for me. It's not like it used to be." You see, the world depends on passion to keep going, even when times are tough. And when the passion goes, what happens when you run out of passion? Well, there's nothing left to keep going. In contrast, the faithful Christian servant depends upon the Holy Spirit with an unlimited power supply. You never run out of Holy Spirit enabling. And if you hear of Christians getting burned out in ministry, and I'm even talking about ourselves when Nolan and I were in Africa, if you hear of Christians getting burned out in ministry, you can be sure there was not enough dependence upon the Holy Spirit in their ministry. Faithful service must be dependent upon God. So how do we remain dependent? Jesus taught in John chapter 15 and verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." I think that is the single most important lesson that we need to learn once we've become a Christian, to abide in the Lord Jesus. It's not me. It's his life lived out through me. And when I get things wrong, it's because it's not his life being lived out through me. Hudson Taylor learned how to rest in Christ, even though he had responsibility for something like 800 missionaries in China with difficulties and wars going on. He remained peaceful as he handled these because he was depending on God to work through him. George Miller had a similar experience looking after the daily needs of 10,000 orphans without ever advertising for their needs. He had to depend on God supplying those needs. And he had a rest in God because it was God through him. It wasn't dependent on him, it was dependent upon God. It is the key to all the great men and women of God. It simply wasn't them. It was the life of the Lord Jesus being lived out through them. Channels only, blessed Master, for thy love and power flowing through us. You can use us every day and every hour. And the hymn writer understood the secret also. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Let the attitude of your life be a continual willingness to go out in dependence upon God." Dependence takes humility. It says, "Lord, I can't do this. It is poor in spirit." Dependence takes faith. It trusts God. It is resting. It is trusting in him. We cannot be anxious or discouraged about service when we're dependent. See, God is going to do it, and God is going to do it through me in his time. If we'll get out of the road and allow the Holy Spirit, then out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water to those we seek to minister to. So we might pray, "O Lord Jesus, help me to abide in you, trusting, resting in your will for my life." The fifth description of faithful service in this passage is faithful service will impact lives. The source of faithful service is dependence on God. The result of faithful service is changed lives. Now, we've already read of changed lives in Lydda. Remember, we read verse 35, "So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Underline the word "turn." They turned to the Lord. And now we read of similar changed lives in Joppa, verse 42. "And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord." These are parallel verses. One says they turned to the Lord. The other one says they believed on the Lord. And these two are equivalent, and they always go together. Repentance, which is a turning from idols, a turning from self to God, and faith occur simultaneously in the life of a new Christian. when that happens, when there is faith and repentance together, that person is born again and the Holy Spirit comes in at that moment to give them new life in Christ. It is not saving faith without repentance. And it is regret, not repentance, it is regret if not mixed with new faith. Faith and repentance always go together. Peter depended on the Lord, and Peter was blessed to see changed lives in his ministry. Peter saw many, many people being changed by his ministry to them. But not everyone, of course, even if we're faithful, will see the same kinds of results as what Peter saw. There's a story, I think this is a pretty well-known story, about a pastor in a small rural church in Scotland. See if you recognize this. He'd been forced out of his church by the people because they'd seen no results from his ministry. There'd been no salvations. There'd been no baptisms during his time there. It was a difficult place. The people, their hearts were cold. They were hostile to the truth. But he did recall one positive response during his ministry. It was after a morning service, as the offering plate was being handed round, a young boy put the plate, the offering plate, on the floor and stepped into it. And later on it was asked why he did that, and he said, "I wanted to give myself to God." The young boy who did that, his name was Bobby Moffat. And in 1817, Bobby Moffat became a pioneer missionary to South Africa. One of his daughters later married David Livingstone. He was a pioneer missionary in South Africa. God had touched his life. And he was greatly used of God in many lives. And it all started in a small church with an unappreciated pastor who hadn't seen any other results from his ministry. One person. And God did great things through Bobby Moffat. Perhaps you see no fruit in your work for the Lord. Remain faithful, brother and sister. Don't lose heart. Keep going with your service. Ask God to strengthen you with his power. Sooner or later, faithful service will see results. Don't despise the ones and the twos like Bobby Moffat. You don't know what God is going to do through them. Amazing. Imagine if you witness to, say, someone like a Billy Graham, and then many people get saved through his ministry. Be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now I want to read you a little story as I close tonight. It's from a book entitled Early Evangelical Revivals in Australia. There's a heading, orange, 1864. It says, "For several years God's people have mourned over the indifference of people to the salvation of their souls. Few appear to manifest a desire for their salvation. The gospel is being preached faithfully. Though the people generally paid attention to church, listened attentively to the word preached, and sometimes appeared to be affected under the faithful ministry of God's servants, yet there were very few that gave their hearts to God. For this great change, God's pastors and people labored and prayed, but for many years with very little visible effect. So they were ready to exclaim, 'Has God forgotten to be gracious? Will he be favorable no more?' Under these feelings, they labored all but hopelessly, feeling that the people were gospel-hardened. But no, the time of God's visitation in mercy came. On Sunday the 7th, there was a very gracious feeling among the people. Some wept, others sobbed during the sermon. A prayer meeting was held after the ordinary service when the young pastor invited all who had a desire to be saved to come to the front, that God's people might know who they are, that they might be able to advise them and pray for them more effectively." "One instantly arose and went forward, and three more soon followed. There was a reviving of good days in our little place. Since then, the work has gone on gloriously. 16th, when the pastor invited the mourners to the front, the people literally crowded in the aisle of the little sanctuary. So that in a few minutes, the front seats were literally filled with seekers for salvation. The sensation was almost overwhelming for those who had prayed faithfully for God's revival." Faithful service will be characterized by thoroughness, kindness, of course other things too, but that's what's in this passage. thoroughness, kindness, dedication, a dependence on God, a dependence through prayer on God, and then lastly, change lives. Do not give up. God bless your faithful service to Him, dear friends. God bless it. We may see revival. Who knows what God will do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. It's refreshing to our hearts. It's encouraging to us. Thank You for the example of Peter and Dorcas tonight, who were so kind. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might continue here in faithful service to You. Lord, would we dare to ask for revival like they saw in Orange in 1864. Lord, we pray that as we continue in prayer, as we continue to be faithful, You would break through to this community, bring many to Yourself, we pray in Jesus' name.